Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras, text number 29. Mimite sati sarvatra,
mimite sati sarvatra,
jaladabhapi purusha,
jaladabhapi purusha,
amanascha parasyapi,
amanascha parasyapi,
vidam pashyati nanyada,
vidam pashyati nanyada.
Imite,
imite,
on account of causes, sati,
sati,
being, sarvatra,
sarvatra,
everywhere,
everywhere,
jala ado,
jala ado,
api,
api,
water and other reflecting media,
water and other reflecting media,
purusha,
purusha,
person,
person,
atmanaha,
atmanaha,
oneself,
oneself,
cha,
cha,
and
parasyaapi,
another self,
vidam,
differentiation, pashyati,
sees,
na,
anyada,
there is no other reason.
There is no other reason.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others. Just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested on water, on oil, or in a mirror. Please repeat. Only because of different causes.
Only because of different causes.
Does a person see a difference?
Does a person see a difference?
Between himself and others.
Between himself and others.
Just as one sees the reflection of a body.
Just as one sees the reflection of a body.
Appearing differently manifested on water.
Appearing differently manifested on water.
On oil.
On oil.
Or in a mirror.
Or in a mirror.
Purport. The spirit soul is one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is manifested in Svamsa and Vininamsa. Jivas are Vininamsa expansions. The different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are Svamsa expansions. Thus there are different potencies of the Supreme Lord, and there are different expansions of the different potencies. In this way, for different reasons, there are different expansions of the same one principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is real knowledge, but when the living entity is covered by the upadi, or designated body, he sees differences, exactly as one sees differences in reflections of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected on the water, it appears to be moving. When it is reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it is reflected on oil, it appears hazy. The subject is one, but under different conditions, it appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, a whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahamsa or perfectional state of life, by practicing bhakti yoga, one sees only Krishna everywhere. For him, there is no other objective. In conclusion, due to different causes, the living entity is visible in different forms as an animal, human being, demigod, tree, etc. Actually, every living entity is a marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5.18, therefore it is explained that one who actually sees the spirit soul does not distinguish between a learned brahmana, a dog, an elephant, or a cow. Pandita Samadarshanaha. One who is actually learned sees only the living entity, not the outward covering. Differentiation is therefore the result of different karma or free activities, and when we stop free activities, turning them into acts of devotion, we can understand that they are not different. We are not different from anyone else, regardless of the form. This is only possible in Krishna consciousness. In this movement, there are many different races of men from all parts of the world participating, but because they think of themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not differentiate between black and white, yellow and red. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the only means to make the living entities free of all designation. So the text again, Imite Sati Sarvatra Chaladavapi Purusha Atmanas Chapurasyapi Vidam Pachati Nangida. Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested on water, on oil, or in a mirror. Mama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Sarasatundeve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Kastatya Desikarne. Here in the verse, the example of a person seeing themselves in different types of substances, like oil or water or in a mirror, that the person is the same, but he appears differently. Here the person refers to the soul. When we become conscious of the soul, then the soul appears differently when it's manifested in different species of life, but ultimately the soul doesn't change according to the material circumstances he finds himself in. And one's journey to perfection means to understand or come to the realization that we are souls and that everyone else is also a soul. And the way of realizing that is to act as a soul. And to act as a soul means to act as the servant of Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Bhavanam Janmanamante Jnanamamam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sarvamahatma Sadurlabha. That it takes time, sometimes it takes many, many births. Well, this won't do. Can only be one class here. That after passing through many births, if one cultivates knowledge, of course, knowledge does not mean simply theoretical book knowledge, but practical service to Krishna. And what is that practical service to Krishna? Is to help other persons realize that they're also eternal servants of Krishna. There's only one problem everyone has in the material world. That is, we're misidentifying ourselves with this body. Because the soul, being eternal, being full of knowledge and blissful, has no problem. But the body has a lot of problems. And when we think we're the body, then we think we have a lot of problems. We think we have so many problems that we can spend eternity trying to solve them. And the more we try and solve material problems, then the more material problems we get to solve. Material nature is very kind. If we want to make our eternal occupation to solve material problems, Maya will give us so many problems to solve. And we'll get appreciation from others who are also trying to solve material problems, sometimes. We may not get appreciation, but Maya will always encourage us to solve more problems. Unfortunately, the real problem that we have, that is, our forgetfulness of our identity in relation to Krishna, will not be solved by solving material problems. However expert or inexpert we may become in solving material problems, it has nothing to do with our identity in relation to Krishna. Therefore, it is advised, whatever our circumstance is, tate nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvak vakubir vidyadan namaste jivekti yad bhukti sudes daivak pudes daivak. That we should not get too concerned over our difficulties, because they're not our difficulties. Just like they had one rally and one minister who's trying to console his congregation because some of them were deeply in debt. So he said, it's not your problem, it's the bank's problem. Similarly, whatever is going on with this material body, it's not ultimately our problem, it's the body's problem. And ultimately the body dies anyhow. No matter how good or how sincere we are in trying to solve our material problems, the ultimate problem, death, can't be solved. On the other hand, acting in the capacity of as a soul means to desire to fulfill Krishna's desire. In other words, our entanglement in the material world is due to desire. When we desire in relation to this body alone, without any clear understanding of our identity as a soul, then our identity with soul remains covered. And when we act as a soul, as a servant of Krishna, in that consciousness, to please Krishna, then the result is that Krishna reveals himself to us, and we realize that we experience what it's like to be an eternal servant of Krishna. In other words, all we have to do is add knowledge that we're Krishna's servants to our endeavor, and then the endeavor becomes perfect. Of course, what Krishna wants us to do may take some thoughtfulness. It is not that whatever we feel like doing, we do for Krishna, and that will please Krishna. It may be, for the most part, it's not so difficult, but due to conditioned life, there are many desires we have which are not very conducive for spiritual advancement. Therefore, we have to check and see which will actually be pleasing to Krishna and which will not be pleasing to Krishna. For instance, it's very simple. If we chant Krishna's glories, Krishna becomes pleased. We have no instance in any of our literature someone chanting Krishna's glories and Krishna became very disturbed. How dare you chant my glories? You're finished. No. Or anyone who tried to act helping others understand Krishna, Krishna is pleased. Similarly, if we follow the instructions of Krishna coming down into simple succession, Krishna becomes pleased. And if we develop the mood when we're following them of doing that activity to please Krishna, Krishna is even more pleased. Obviously, if someone out of fear or an anxiety or out of lust or anger or whatever else follows someone's directions, the person can't find too much fault. But they become more satisfied if it's done willingly and lovingly. So Krishna will not necessarily fully reveal himself to one who follows his directions out of fear or lust or anger, but he does fully reveal himself to one who follows his directions willingly with a desire to please him, because that's the relationship we're supposed to have with Krishna. Of course, if we look at Krishna, he's so big and so great. I wish I was so big and so great, but I can't be so big and so great, so it's unfair. Therefore, the best thing I can do is dislike Krishna for being so big and great. That makes me feel that at least there's some justice in the world. No, Krishna can't help it, being big and great. Even if he tried not to be big and great, he couldn't do it. So no one can really blame Krishna for being so big and great. On the other hand, in the relationship with the devotee, Krishna becomes subordinate to the devotee. So although he's unlimited, that's considered his greatest glory, bhaktivatsala, that although the Supreme Lord has unlimited in all respects, still in relationship to his loving devotee, he becomes subordinated. Therefore, if you have God under your control, how can you complain? People take some insignificant thing under their control. They get a remote for the television. They think they're controlling everything. They take so much pleasure that now we're controlling the material energy. But what to speak of one who's out of love can control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna will only be controlled by one who actually loves him. And to love Krishna means understand how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. It is not possible to love Krishna and at the same time dislike other living entities. Dislike or like in the material world, lust and anger, is all byproducts of illusion. And as long as there is illusion, one cannot be aware of Krishna. And as long as one is not even aware of Krishna, whether there is any question of loving, of liking Krishna or loving him. We can't like or love someone we're not aware of. We can't even dislike someone we're not aware of. When people dislike God, it's not God they dislike, because they don't even know who God is. They dislike some conception they have of God. But that's not God necessarily. Even Kamsa, he wanted to kill God, but he never really got to know God. Of course, God happened to climb on his chest. He had an opportunity to know him, but the relationship didn't last very long. But he never really got to ask Krishna any questions or get to know him. The only thing he thought, Krishna someday is going to kill me. He didn't realize that when Krishna killed him, it was for his benefit. That Krishna is killing him, God elevated him more than he could have done after many, many lifetimes. So although he took it as something negative, he never really found out very much about Krishna. Had he found out that Krishna is completely sweet, he's the essence of all sweetness, then he wouldn't have minded if Krishna did something. He may have objected a little, you know, maybe you shouldn't kill me, maybe there's a better way of doing things. But in any case, he never really got to know Krishna. Hiranyakashipu never really got to know Nrisimhadeva either. Not very well. There was some misunderstanding on his part. Similarly, if we want to have a judgment about Krishna, then we have to get to know him. We can know him through hearing about him. And then Krishna says, that's only the beginning. We also have to get to know him by chanting about him. Chanting about him, in one sense, also means to follow his instructions. Hearing is one thing, hearing is theoretical, but chanting becomes experience when we follow the instructions. Then when we get to know Krishna, everyone so far has got to know Krishna, has liked him, because he's all likable. Whatever we find attractive in this world, just like Mohini Murti, even the demons liked her, because she was so beautiful and attractive. They didn't know she was Krishna. They would have known she was Krishna. Maybe they would have changed their opinion. But because whatever they liked was embodied in Mohini Murti, therefore they were attracted by her. So because Krishna is the embodiment of everything, whatever we like comes from Krishna. And whether we recognize her or not, although it appears that the individual personalities and souls are moving the world, but actually the world is moved by Krishna, but that may be a little tricky also. Because if someone makes a statement, the whole world is a manifestation of Krishna, then someone objects. Well, if Krishna is so nice, why does it cause someone who lives to suffer? Our answer is, Krishna doesn't cause anyone to suffer. People cause their own suffering. Krishna, he's simply fulfilling everyone's desire. Everyone's desire means that by the material world is a big opportunity. Nigama kalpatrura galitam balam. It is like a desire tree. We can get from it whatever we want. Everyone who came to the material world came to forget Krishna, so that's a given. We're automatically forgetful of Krishna. And we came here to become the Lord. So we must take some role in the material world as some kind of Lord. We never become the Lord, but we put on a costume. Material nature provides us with a costume and a role, as Bhakti Shakespeare said. The whole world's a stage, all the world's a stage, and everyone's an actor here. We all have our entrances and our exits. So we've been given a costume, and we've been given a role, a part to play, and we're playing our role, our part. And everyone has a part. I am the Lord here. Some people say, I'm a humble Lord, something, I'm a powerful Lord. I'm the Lord of the monkeys, I'm the Lord of the, you know, whatever. Everyone's taking the role of a Lord. And the idea is, through this role, through the experience we have with material nature, somehow or another, we're going to become happy and enjoy. And although we may not feel like we're completely happy right now, material nature promises us that if we simply follow her instructions, and we do it, whatever we're doing better, then eventually we will become a better and better and better and better Lord, and we'll get more and more happiness. That promise is always there. And more or less, every conditioned soul has aspirations. Maya presents this idea or that idea, and we say, check that one, I don't want to check that one, check that one. She gives us a whole menu, and we check off our order, and Maya provides our next body. So we can't complain. One can't complain if he goes to a restaurant and he orders so many preparations and the waiter brings them. You say, why did you bring all these preparations? Well, you ordered them. That's why I brought them. So we order so many, we have so many desires we become attached to and praying to God, please give me this, please give me that. And he gives it to us. And then we say, why did God do that? Well, he did it because you asked for it. You may not have known what the taste was going to be like when you ordered the preparation, but that's what you order. If you pray, I want to fly like a bird, and you spend the whole day meditating on birds, watching them on the internet, taking pictures of them, doing so many things with birds, and then at the end of life you become a bird and you complain, why did I become a bird? Because that's what you wanted, and I gave it to you. But don't worry, you won't be a bird for that long. Soon you'll become many other things too that you desire. So God has arranged it, Krishna has arranged things in such a way as he's given us our present body according to our past desires and activities, and our future bodies will be given according to our present desires and activities. So who can complain? But Krishna eventually said, ultimately says, don't stay in the material world. It's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to ask me for so many material bodies. Better to ask me to go back to the spiritual world and live there in bliss and knowledge forever. Your problem here is that everything here is temporary. So whatever situation you have, you're unhappy because it doesn't last. And the other thing is that you're not feeling pleasure. You're struggling to get pleasure, but you never get as much pleasure as you'd actually like. And the real problem ultimately is you don't know how to become eternal again. You don't know how to become happy. So I have a process. If you follow it, you'll become aware of how to become eternally happy. So that's what Krishna is offering in these books, a process. He's offering to everyone, but it's up to us individually to take it. And part of that what Krishna wants us to do is become an instrument. It's not that, yes, I accept, and now I can do whatever I want. No. The proof of the fact that we're taking Krishna seriously is that we become interested in doing what Krishna wants. And Krishna wants us to help others. To help oneself means also to help others. We become an instrument to help others understand the philosophy and the activities, the devotional service, and how to become Krishna conscious. Or as Prabhupada wrote to me, the more you work seriously to help bring Lord Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more that he'll bestow all blessings upon you, that Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So others may not be very appreciative. People may criticize us. People criticize. As one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, everyone just criticizes me. So the Prabhupada said, they even criticize Lord Chaitanya. So we should expect. And then the devotee said, no, you don't understand, Prabhupada. Everyone's criticizing me. The Prabhupada said, no, they also criticize Lord Chaitanya. God, Krishna, people make it, if you go to India, if Krishna is up for election, he might not even win. People criticize him so much. So what to speak of Krishna's little devotee? If they can criticize God, who's perfect, so what to speak of the devotee who's not quite perfect as God? So we should not expect that everyone's going to love us for what we're doing. But Krishna will love us if we do something for him. People may or may not appreciate, but if Krishna appreciates, then our life becomes perfect because then we'll find out who we really are. And when we find out who we really are, we'll find out who we're not. And then all our problems will go away. Not only our problems will go away, when we find out who we're not, but we'll become positively enlivened and happy and blissful forever. It's hard to beat that, right? Can anyone think of a better situation? And becoming so completely aware of becoming unlimitedly blissful forever. Can anyone think of a better situation? So that's what's being offered. And part of that is to understand things properly, understand that, as Prabhupada once said, when he was installing the deities in New Dwarka, Rukmini Dwarka, not the Rukmini Dwarka deities, but the little deities. And he said that Madan Mohan, he was being... Sanatana Goswami was hanging Madan Mohan within a tree. And Madan Mohan, well, Prabhupada more or less said that, first of all, he mentioned Vamsidat Babaji, who was also dealing very intimately with his devotee, with his deity. Then he said, no, Sanatana Goswami, he was hanging Madan Mohan within a tree. And he said, my dear Madan Mohan, what was happening is that Sanatana Goswami was offering Madan Mohan one roti every day. Not exactly roti. In Vrindavan, they take this ball of dough and they just throw it into the fire. They don't even make a chapati out of it. They just throw a ball of dough into the fire until it cooks a little bit. And he was offering that to Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan, when he agreed to come and live with Sanatana Goswami, he didn't know he was going to live in a tree. Otherwise, who knows what he would have decided. But anyhow, he wound up living in a tree, a branch of a tree, and all he was getting every day was one cooked, what's called roti, those kind of fried balls of dough, or cooked balls of dough. So after some time, he became a little disturbed, Madan Mohan, and he said, my dear Sanatana Goswami, every day you're just offering me this cooked ball of dough. He said, can't you give me something else, maybe even a little salt? And, another part Prabhupada said that Sanatana Goswami said, first you could ask for salt, next sweets. He said, I'm an old man, I can hardly even move. Whatever I have, I'm offering to you. Please eat it and don't complain. Prabhupada said that Madan Ohan he had to accept because it was offered with such love. Then Prabhupada said, but what is your quality? What is your qualification? What is your asset? He said that the real thing is bhakti. Oh, he said, is nothing. He said, the real thing is bhakti. That Krishna kindly take, I have no qualification, I'm rotten, and I've fallen, and then Prabhupada started to cry. But I'm offering this to you. That will do. Don't be puffed up. Always remember you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. Thank you. In dealing with the deities, we can understand we're dealing with Krishna. But even more important than dealing with the deities is seeing how in the heart of all living entities, the deity is also there as a super soul. And therefore in our dealings with others, it should be as an instrument for Krishna, as a servant of Krishna, in relationship to Krishna's other servants. Otherwise, we forget we're Krishna's servants, and Krishna has a mission in this world in relationship with other living entities, then we may not act as Krishna's instrument properly. But as soon as we pray to Krishna for the intelligence how to serve other living entities in relation to the Supreme Lord, then Krishna will give us the intelligence how to properly act in such a way as to become a better servant of all living entities. How to make friends with the devotees, how to raise the innocent, and how to avoid those who are offenders to Krishna. These are all different parts of service to Krishna. If we only make friends with the devotees, and we neglect trying to raise the innocent, or we neglect avoiding the atheists, the offenders of Krishna, then our service to Krishna will be incomplete. And therefore our realization in this world of Krishna will also be incomplete. And we have to come back until it's complete. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes.
We work with Upadhi designation that has a negative connotation. But as soon as you enter in this world, you have to take a negative designation. So how does that mean we start negative? That's what it means.
Yes, we start with a negative balance. Then we work our way down. Yeah, then anyone who can, just like if you go to prison, someone may complain. Here I'm in prison, my freedom has been restricted. But I'm a first class prisoner. Yes, prison house means that your freedom is going to be restricted. So if we understand it's negative, then that's the way it is. Even Lord Brahma, he's considered a criminal too. He's the best of the criminals. But most living entities are not criminals. Most haven't come to the material world. Only a handful have come. A big handful. And these bodies are a prison uniform. So whatever, we may have a nice prison uniform, nicely pressed and decorated. Or it may not be so nice. It may be a ragged prison uniform. But in any case, it's a prison uniform. And the prisoner is inside the body. And the idea is not to get a better prison uniform, is to get free from the prison uniforms and go back to normal society. Anything else? Yes.
I like that looking at the material world as the forbidden desire trees, and you pluck this apple, you're thrown out into the prison. And the other thing is, when you are a human being, then you kind of have desires. It sort of arises from your mind. But when you actually are another form, how can you really desire?
Well, desire? We don't desire either. Desires are just arising within our mind, those are the circumstances. We don't have independent desires. Desires are conditioned by our circumstances. It's not that we have a whole viewpoint of reality, and therefore we choose according to reality. That's only possible when we take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna tells us what's the best possible of all things to do in reality under these circumstances. Other than that, we're just subjected to our past desires, the reactions coming our past desires due to our present condition. For instance, we look at something, we look at green, and someone may remember Lord Ramachandra if they're a devotee. Someone may remember dollar bills if they're not. So that's all due to past association. So similarly, due to our past association, how we've handled that same kind of energy in the past, then certain remembrances will come up. That's called karma. And according to our remembrances, then we'll get certain emotions will come up along with them, and certain impetuses to act will also come up. So unless we have perfect knowledge coming from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and unless we really take shelter of Krishna seriously to understand, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, what Krishna wants us to do under these circumstances, then we're forced to act according to our past conditions. And even we may not be so much practiced in taking shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, but spiritual advancement is simply a process of taking those things seriously and then utilizing them to take shelter of Krishna. And as we do that, our sincerity will increase, and as our sincerity increases, then Krishna reciprocates with us accordingly. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharajana Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.